good. I'm going to read through James chapter 1 now, and I'll be reading from the ESV translation. So if you'd like to turn there in your Bibles, you're more than welcome, and it will be on the screen here. James chapter 1. Greetings. James, a servant, and that word translates to slave, of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. To the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, and the rich in his humiliation, because like a flower of the grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with its scorching heat and withers the grass. Its flower falls, its beauty perishes. So also will the rich man fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. Right from the outset, James lays down a challenging teaching. Verse 2 reads, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Count it all joy. What can this mean? Well, this does not mean that trials will be easy, that trials will be fun, that trials won't bring us to our knees, that trials won't bring tears to our eyes. What it says, though, is we're to count it all joy. We must have a biblical view of what God means to accomplish through our trials. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. Notice how it says when we meet trials, not if we meet trials. And they will be of various kinds. Physical trouble, persecution, suffering, sickness, emotional trial, anguish, pain, sorrow, trials in family, trials in friends, in broken relationships, and in death. And our walk as believers, there are going to be trials. Let's not fool ourselves in this. Some of us may be in the middle of a storm right now, and I pray that today's words will be encouraging and helpful, and that they'll point you to Scripture and to our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Do we know this? Do we know this? Do we believe this? That the testing of our faith, the trials we face, are producing a steadfastness. They are maturing us. They are doing something. Do we realize that God purposes trials to work in us an enduring faith? Do we know this? Verse 4, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. May steadfastness have its full effect. That we would stand firm in the faith, that we would persevere, that trials would not overcome us, but that we would be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. We begin to see we need to have a larger view than just the suffering we're experiencing. We're called to think beyond the pain. We're called to think beyond the trial and know that God purposes trials to have us grow in steadfastness, that we might stand firm. I think as we're thinking about joy in the midst of suffering and joy in the midst of trials, it'll be good for us to turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, and read from there. It's going to be up on the screen for us. I'll be reading from the NLT. Now, and from verse 3, it reads, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by His great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. And through your faith, God is protecting you by his power until you receive the salvation, which is ready to be revealed on the last day for all to see. From verse 6, so be truly glad or filled with joy. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine and is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than mere gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. There's a lot to take in from that passage. But we are called to rejoice in what has been accomplished in Jesus Christ and what is being accomplished in Jesus Christ. The fact we've been born again, the person of Jesus Christ, that he died and rose again. We're called to not lose sight of the wonder of the gospel which has saved us, even though in verse 6, you must endure many trials for a little while. So I think we can draw two things out of our thinking about trials. Number one, that God wants to use our trials to produce a steadfastness, an endurance, a perseverance in us, and that trials will test that and manifest it. And number two, that we are to always rejoice in what has been accomplished in the gospel and hold in view the temporary nature of the trial and the eternal nature of our salvation. You know what that means? Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What an example we have in our Savior. So we have what the Bible's saying in James, that God wants to purpose our trials to produce a perseverance, a steadfastness, a standing firm in the faith. We have in Peter that we are to rejoice in what has been accomplished and is being accomplished in the gospel, and not lose sight of that when we face trials, when we face suffering. But then we're faced with the, how does this work out in my day-to-day life? How does it work out? And the reality for all of us is that this is really, really hard. How do we set about doing this when so often trials blind us to the reality of God's goodness, his sovereign purposes, and despair can lead to doubt and often acts as a barrier to us growing in steadfastness, in endurance, in standing firm. We can miss out on the blessing because we lose sight of God. We can be consumed with the trial, but we cannot be people who think like this. If God has revealed his purposes for us, we need to know what they are. And where do we find them? In the scripture. In the scripture. We can't be people that try and make sense of suffering on our own, that reason away in the darkness as we're going through the trial, just isolate ourselves. And we can't be people that do that. We've got to be people that are drawn to God's word and surround ourselves with wise Christian people that know more than us and that can speak into our lives and that can help us. And that can tell us that God purposes trials, that we might grow in steadfastness, in perseverance, in endurance. Let us come back to the book of James, continuing on from verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. We are to come to God in our trials and pray for wisdom. pray for understanding, that we might be granted the eyes to see the big picture that God has purposes for our trials, to grow us, to produce steadfastness, that we might stand strong. A wise man came to me in my preparation for this message, and he said, "Dan, what if people were sitting there when you're preaching and they say, what's a guy in his 20s doing preaching on trials and troubles of life and suffering? What does he know?" That's a fair question on the surface. But it got me thinking, and I think that was the point of the question, to get me thinking. Because there might be this assumption that just because of somebody's age, for some reason they don't go through trials. And it made me think, you know, you can't tell me that the first time a young person at school steps out in faith and bears witness to Jesus and his friends cut him down and call him stupid, that that's not a trial. Or the first time someone enters the workforce or at university and their boss or workers or their lecturer rips apart the faith and says there's no good grounds to believe in that, what are you doing? You can't tell me that's not a trial. Or the first time a young person deals with friendship breaks or relationship breakups, that's not a trial. Or the first time a young person deals with sickness, really full-on sickness, or the first time a family member dies, that's not a trial. We all experience trials, no matter what age we are. And you know, maybe there's some truth. Maybe, you know, when we get to the age of 40, maybe we get to the age of 40 and you can look back on your life and think, man, those things I was thinking about at 15, at 20, at 25, at 30, and all those years in between, and maybe some of them just weren't as important, as serious as I first thought. But don't you think that's because God has granted you the ability, or the wisdom, and the growth, and the ability to grow in all of this stuff? He has granted you that steadfastness. He has granted you that perseverance. He's allowed you to grow in all of this stuff. And it is by no means a place to sit or stand and judge younger people. But it's motivation to get alongside them and preach to them the truth of God, that God purposes trials that you may grow in steadfastness, that you may grow in endurance. We can build each other up in this stuff. So we all experience trials and suffering personally. We also witness it happening to others. This can be just as hard. And I think probably the hardest thing that I've had to witness, and at times this has been from a distance, would be thinking about my Nina. 8 years ago, she had a major stroke. Paralyzed half of her body and very limited movement in her other half. Unable to communicate as she lost the ability to speak, so she can't tell people when she's in pain. 8 years ago. And the last 8 years have been 8 years of deterioration, gradually getting worse and worse and weaker and weaker. And sometimes it feels like the easiest way to deal with it is not to think about it, to not go and visit, to not talk about it, but this accomplishes nothing. The suffering is real, it is hard, but there are two things to remember. It in no way changes the truth about Jesus Christ, who he is, and what he has accomplished in his death and resurrection. The gospel stays the same. True, wonderful, beautiful. There is joy there. And if I ever lack understanding, I have the ability to pray and to ask for understanding. And it's something, and reading James and being reminded of these truths is something that I need to do far more often. And so as you're here tonight, has suffering or the trials you've been in been blinding you from seeing how good God truly is? from receiving the gospel message that Jesus Christ is Lord and he died for your sin. And in rising again, he conquered death. And he is greater than any trial you've ever experienced or will ever experience. He's a foundation that never fails. Are you hearing that for the first time tonight? Or have you been struggling for a while and lost sight of Jesus in the trial? Come back to him in faith and trust what James has told us, that God purposes trials that we might grow in steadfastness and endurance. May we always hold on to this truth and keep in view what has been achieved by Jesus on the cross and his death and resurrection for everything he's done for us. Before I pray, I'd like to read. It's the first verse of In Christ Alone. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are stilled and striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you that we could think about these things tonight. And I pray that your people would know the joy that is salvation in you and never lose sight of that, even through the hardest of trials. In Jesus' name, amen.